Okay, I apologize in advance for my voice. I'm glad I have a microphone right here so you can hear me. We're going to try and get through this. If I can't finish, I'll call one of you guys up here to read it for me. But anyway, it's very simple. It was requested, and you know, I usually post out there on the bulletin board my scheduled sermons. But when I have a request, then I change it up. So someone asked me about spiritual gifts and the fact that are they still active today? And so I checked around and I have this lesson here, which I'm going to present today. Now, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we also need to realize that though the special miraculous gifts have ceased, we still have spiritual gifts. So, but that is another sermon that we will discuss at another time. But we're talking about the special miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read about there in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're going to ask some questions and answer those questions in a simple way. We're not going to cover everything, but we are going to cover enough that if you have questions, we'll be glad to discuss it. All right, why is it necessary to preach on spiritual gifts? Well, it's very simple, because it is a Bible subject. And so that's why it's okay to preach on these things. There's also a reason to preach on it, because it's very much is misunderstood about it. And we also have false teachers claim to have these special spiritual gifts today. And so it is important to see why gifts were given and the purpose that they served. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, as Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3, which we read in our scripture reading, they had asked Paul these questions and he was answering them. And he reminds them of their past of serving idols, which basically did nothing. And there are some ground rules by which people will know if the gifts are from God. And so that's what he established there in those first three verses. Now, he talked about the diversity of gifts. And there, beginning in chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, he talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit directs the usage of these gifts. The Holy Spirit decides who's going to get what gift and how they're going to use it and how they're going to implement it. And then we're going to look at various ministries, but they all serve the same Lord. When you look at the scriptures, everything in the scriptures that we read about concerning gifts was all done for a specific purpose. And it's nothing like what people try and do and accomplish today. So no matter the type of gift, it is from God working through these people. Now, we're going to look in a few minutes and see why. But anyway, each gift was given for the common good. There were no gifts given to someone just to make them feel better or make them feel special. Never happened. But yet, that's not what happens in our world today when people claim these gifts. It's something that, it gets us personal feelings and stuff. No, it was always for the common good. Common good of the church, common good of the truth, common church of the body, or the each individual part, for the common good for each and every one of those. An example we have would be Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, the measure of the stature of Christ, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that's why they were given. All right, now the Bible gifts of the Spirit, as we read there in verses 8 through 10 of our scripture reading, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, faith by the Spirit, gifts of healing, performing miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. So those are the ones we look at. And of course, it's very easy. Now, where do we get these from today? Because remember, they didn't have Bibles back then. So, the word of wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? Well, 1 James 1:5 tells us we pray for it. God gives us that wisdom. But also we understand the beginning of knowledge is wisdom from Proverbs. And where do we get that? We get it from our Bible. We get God's wisdom from the Bible. Where do we get the word of knowledge? We get it from the Bible. Where do we get the faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So it comes from the Bible. Now the gifts of healing. That's something that we still have a type of faith healing today. We can heal our faith. But we don't do the miracles. And none of those people who claim to do them have the ability to do that either. And you can challenge them real easy. Let's go to the hospital and see if you have that power.
That's right.
And they won't do it. They just refuse to. Oh, they don't have faith. Well, a lot of people in the Bible, they didn't have faith either. Not until after. And then prophecy. Actually, when you look at the purpose of prophecy, we could change the word and put in the word preaching. And that's pretty much what prophecy was. Is just downright teaching people what they need to do, what God wants them to do. And so that's what prophecy is about. Now, in order for the people to know that what was being spoken was from the word of God, there's several things that happened. One of the things was to foretell the future. But the problem is when prophets like Isaiah made a prophecy that was going to take place 700 years later, well, the people of his day wouldn't know it. So they had short-term prophecies and they had long-term prophecies. And it wasn't long before people realized, okay, these people are spokesmen of God. Another thing that happened was they used miracles. And miracles helped people understand that what these people were preaching were from God. If we look there in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 24. After Elijah raised the widow's son, she said this, and the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." So that's what happens with these prophets. And the ability to distinguish between spirits, spirit of truth and spirit of error. Okay, the ability to distinguish is given to us from the Bible. The Bible tells us what's right and the Bible tells us what's wrong. And so we have the ability to distinguish between the spirits. And then we got the great one, the one everybody likes to jump on, the speaking in tongues and the interpreting of tongues. Of course, everybody likes to speak in tongues and everybody does this gibberish, but rarely do they have an interpreter there say what they were talking about. Rarely. All right, so the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives these gifts. And that we find that 1 Corinthians 12:11. The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, distributes the gifts as he chooses. Not what man wants, but as the Holy Spirit deems necessary for the building up of the body of Christ. So people could not choose what gifts they could have. The Spirit decided that. In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, there are disputes about the gifts and whose gifts was greater. Well, some people were bragging about and making big deal. Hey, I can speak in tongues. And all you can do is just give us prophecy or something like that. And mine is more important than yours. And so they were trying to compare their gifts. And with the attitude that, well, mine's better than yours. You know, that Jesus' disciples pretty much did the same thing. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Or can we sit at your right hand when we're in heaven? And so they had a problem trying to put down a schedule of, okay, who's better? Who's number one? And then on down the line, who's the last? And so they had that problem. And people with the various gifts, they were questioning why they did what they did, and some thought, and they were kind of puffed up about this. All right, so what were the gifts? All right, notice here what Peter said there in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. It says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. Everybody by this point knew what Jesus did. He performed miracles. He did wonders. Everybody was amazed. And he performed signs. So that's what they did. Miracles, wonders, and signs is grouped together like, you know, there's other thing in the scriptures. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Things are grouped together to convey one particular idea. An important thing to recognize that a miracle in scripture wasn't merely an amazing occurrence or providential act, as the word gets carelessly tossed around in our everyday language. I mean, the miracle of childbirth. I mean, we talk about that. We hear that word all the time. It's not a miracle. It's nature. And that's the way God designed it. It's not a miracle. Maybe someone who might have a problem getting pregnant has to go see a doctor and take certain pills or something and finally get pregnant. They say it's a miracle. No, just the doctors helped the body do what it was supposed to do. So miracles like that, maybe a tornado comes through and rips up a bunch of houses, but all of a sudden it just goes around yours. What do you say? It was a miracle. Our house didn't get destroyed, but all these others were. Anybody who knows the nature of tornadoes know that that's what they do. You know, it's like that Geico commercial. It's what they do. So anyway, the miracles were something that definitely wasn't just something out that's normally or maybe occasionally happened. It was something that never happened. All right. It consistently referred to an occasion which God superseded natural law. All right. It was not, could not have been a natural occurrence. You know, some people want to try and use when the earth went dark. Well, it was just an eclipse. Well, that doesn't really work, because anybody who's ever seen an eclipse knows that it lasts just a few minutes. When Jesus was on the cross, it was, the whole world was dark for 3 hours. The whole world. I mean, that's not a solar eclipse. So we can't talk any of this away by using physical things. I mean, this was not a natural occurrence. And then even the gifts had priorities, which some people, they weren't thinking of, especially when you look at chapter 14. He says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All right, so this is what they did. And the word of the apostles took top priority. Why? Because they were the ones sent out by Christ. And Christ told them, the apostles, that they had the keys to the kingdom. You know, a lot of people want to suggest that nowadays other people have these keys to the kingdom. The hierarchy and the different religious organizations. You know, they say that the Pope is the spokesman of Christ. Huh. Well, just the other day, the Pope said there is no such thing as hell. Huh. And he just disagreed with what the Bible says. So we can't take their word for it. And so we go back to the word of the apostles. and most of the apostles, their word has been recorded for us. And when we look at this priority list, tongues came as the lowest of importance in God's scheme of things. Because let's face it, if I walked in here and started speaking Russian, how many of you would understand me? So what good would it do? It wouldn't do any good at all. If I started speaking Spanish, maybe two or three of you might know Spanish, and so that wouldn't do any good. And so when a group of Christians gathered together and someone came in and was started preaching in a different language, what good did it do anybody? Didn't do any good. Chapter 14 says that everything needs to be done for edification. And he basically said, if what you're saying doesn't edify anybody, shut up. Be quiet. That's what he said. Don't waste our time. Uh-huh. And if someone else, then of course, and he also said that if you don't have an interpreter there, don't do it. It doesn't help anybody. So once the apostle spoke, and it was recorded in Scripture, there was no need for the other gifts because the gifts were there for a reason. Now, who had these gifts? Well, we're going to look at several people. John the Baptist says that he was doing some signs and wonders. He had a special role in preparing the way of the Lord. Although he didn't, the scriptures don't really record him doing any miracles. He was preparing the way of the Lord, and a lot of people were responding to him. And Jesus had gifts during his ministry. And we know, as we just read, signs and the wonders and all this stuff and the miracles. Jesus endowed his disciples. You know, he sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70. He says, you're going to be able to do a lot of neat things. And all of this is so people will listen to you. And that's what it was for. But he didn't give them the gift of tongue speaking or the ability to impart gifts. Why? Well, because their job was to go to the lost house of Israel. Who were they? They were the people that lived in their land. They didn't need to have these tongues. Now, if he sent them across the ocean and other places, yeah, they probably would need that. But he said, he's sending them out into Israel. And they all spoke that same common language. Alright, so they didn't need tongue speaking. But the tongue speaking would come after Pentecost. And then only the apostles had the ability to impart gifts. I mean, the apostles would lay their hands on someone and the Holy Spirit would give them gifts. You remember when Philip, in Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel, and a bunch of them obeyed the gospel. The apostles heard about it, so they sent Peter and John down to impart the spiritual gifts. And so that's what they did. And of course, that would help them be better. And since all the apostles are gone, how could anyone receive gifts today? Well, that cannot be answered honestly and from the scriptures by these people who claim these gifts. Now, when were these gifts used? Well, the power promised by Jesus in Acts 1 applied to the apostles only. He spoke to them, and that was only for them. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit does something that captured the attention of all the people. Remember the great noise that was there, and everybody came out to see what it was. And then Peter and the rest of the apostles were out there, and so Peter took that opportunity to preach unto them. Peter explained to the crowd what was happening. This is what was recorded in your scriptures. You should recognize this. And later, Paul would teach that these gifts were to cease. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. Talk about these gifts. They will cease. When that which is perfect has come. What is that perfect? It's the will of God. And we read about that in several places. And of course, this passage is ignored by many people today. Now, where were the gifts used? Well, land, air, and sea. everywhere. These gifts were used everywhere, but always in the presence of witnesses. We don't read about any miracle taking place, any special gift taking place, where the person was alone,
right,
or done in private.
Amen.
It was always in public, mm-hmm, never done in private, and never done to benefit a specific individual. Mm-hmm. That was really not the purpose. Mm-hmm. But it was done to demonstrate that the person doing any sort of healing or other gift was speaking by the Holy Spirit. Or as the woman who's the widow whose son was raised back to life by the prophet, now I know that the words you speak are the truth of God. And so, that's why they did it. Now, how did these gifts happen? Well, we know from the scriptures, sometimes all Jesus had to say was, your son is healed, your daughter is healed, or whatever. Jesus had to speak, and it happened. I mean, so that's how it happened. Maybe the touch of his hand. A lot of times Jesus did this. Jesus spit on the ground one time and picked up the clay and put it on the blind man's eye, and then he received his sight. So it was the touch of his hand sometimes. And then or sometimes touching his garment. Remember the woman with the issue, the blood issue. She came and just touched his garment. They were in a big crowd, people bouncing around. Who touched me? I mean, that caught the disciples by some. What? With all these people around there, somebody touched you? I mean, he said, I felt the Spirit. So, yes. And sometimes that anything contacted by Jesus. Now, Peter, remember, in Acts chapter 3, Peter, people would bring and take a piece of cloth and touch it to Peter, then go put it on somebody, and they would be healed. So, that's how it happened. And sometimes it was done with or without permission. You know, these people that were dying somewhere else, Jesus said, they're healed. He didn't have to go ask them, there, can I heal you? He didn't do that.
That's right.
I mean, he just did it, and it was done. And then, of course, the scripture records that, yeah, the servants came. Yeah, your son revived. He got up at what hour? Well, they realized this is at the words of Jesus is when it happened. All right. Now, here's the important thing we need to remember. Why were the gifts done? Well, number one, because Jesus and God are compassionate. We know that. They looked upon the plight of the blind man, the lame man, the people with the blood issue, and all these other problems. And they had compassion and wanted to heal them. That's what he said about the one who, the legion, who had all the devils went into the swine. Jesus felt compassion on him. Then he felt compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But more so, the reason they were done is to demonstrate the power of God. And to show that the one performing the gift was from God. You remember what Nicodemus said there in John chapter 3? He says, Master, we know that you cannot do these things except you be from God. And so that's what was the demonstration here. These gifts could not be done except God was doing them. And then Jesus' message, or the prophet's message, or the apostle's message, the message is what's important. The gift is not the important part. It's the message that is the important part. And folks, we have that same message today. That's the important thing we have to know. And the other reason they did it was to confirm the word. Look over there at Hebrews chapter 2. All right, beginning verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, after it was at the first spoken through the Lord? It was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. I mean, that's what we've been saying all along.
Uh-huh.
All right. These gifts, signs, and miracles were used in the days before the Bible was completed. It was in the process of being written or compiled. as we have it today. Now, these gifts taught the people the Word of God, and that they guided them and helped them become faithful Christians. They were doing what God wanted them to do because they had the help from God. God has given us His Word to help us, and that's what we're supposed to use it for. It is our helper to help us get there. It is also our comforter. And these are the words Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the helper. He's going to be the comforter. And that's what we get from His Word, the Bible. It's the same word of message we have today. The Holy Spirit assisted the people in learning how to be Christians and how to worship properly. Which for today, how do we become a Christian? The Bible tells us how to become a Christian. How are we to worship God? The Bible tells us how we're to worship God. And so we have what we need. It's very simple. Simple to understand. And like I said, there's more things about this. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to discuss it with you. But just remember, people who claim to have the Spirit today do not teach the same message of God that has been revealed in Scripture.
Amen.
That's very true. That's a very solid point. And all those groups out there claiming to have these special gifts. And what does this do? It causes confusion. And confusion does not come from God. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. He is not the author of confusion. He's not going to do anything to confuse us. He's given us what we need, and it's in His Word of God. And then when men teach error, it causes confusion. And people thinking, well, they must have the Spirit. You want to see some really dumb stuff, go on the internet and look up the Pentecostalism. And they got videos of this stuff. There's one particular video I saw several years ago. A small group, probably smaller than our group here. But anyway, a guy gets up there and he's performing on his guitar. And then all of a sudden, it's like a signal was turned on. And about half the men just started running. Running up and down the aisles, running around. One even ran up, jumped on the chair, and jumped into the baptistry. Filled with the Spirit. Or so they thought. Filled with insanity, if you ask me. But still, I mean, it does cause confusion because people see these things. Another story I want to tell you, you know, back when the Berlin Wall came down, guess what? A bunch of evangelists started going in to the Soviet bloc countries. And they were going through there. And some Pentecostals decided they would go. And the people were amazed because all these people were being healed. And this was so mesmerizing to them, they followed them to the next town and the next town. And what they started to notice real quick is the same people were being healed every time. And then it has to be something that can be demonstrable, demonstrable. I mean, lady comes up, oh, I've had a headache for 14 years. And the guy pops her on the head, oh, I'm great now. Yeah. Or I got sciatica, help me. Knock him down, oh, I feel great now. Like I say, accompany me to the hospital. I got some people there that need healing. They're about to die. So you can demonstrate. And if you can heal them, then I will listen to everything you have to say. And I think every one of us would be honest enough to say, if you can heal them, I will listen to everything you have to say. Because this is a gift of God. But they can't do it. And they won't do it. They won't even try. You know, Oral Roberts was one of those great big ones, but even he had to go to the hospital, and he died in the hospital. See, we have the Bible and no need for the gifts of the first century. They're not necessary. Like I said earlier, we do have gifts, but they're different kinds. We have the gifts of helping each other and all the things we're commanded to do in the Bible. These are the gifts that we acquire and we're supposed to do. Now, does God have the ability to perform miracles? Absolutely. No question about it. If God wanted to do it, He would. If God wanted to give me the power to heal someone, He would do that. And I really, there's not anything I could do about it. I'd have to comply with what God made me do. But if God did that, it would make Him a liar, right? Because He said those miracles have ceased. And a lot of people want to see miracles in order to follow what the people are saying. You know, this happened to Isaiah. The people said, "Show us a sign, show us a sign." And all Isaiah did was say, "God has already spoken. God has already told you what you need to do." So folks, for you, God has already told you what you need to do. It's in your ballpark now. What you do with that information is really on you. And when you stand before God, it's how you handle that information is what He's going to be thinking about you. And that's where your judgment is going to be. Did I comply with what God expects of me, or did I not? So do not expect to receive any special witness or any gifts of the Spirit. You're not going to see them. You're not going to experience them. You're not going to feel them, because it's not necessary. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing an invitation song. We already know what it needs to be saved. We know we need to hear the gospel and repent of our sins, confess His name, be baptized for forgiveness of sins. We know we need to live faithful to the Lord. And how can we be faithful? Well, He tells us how in His word. So we need to put the word in our hearts. This word, James says, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Folks, take the word of God, learn it, apply it, and live for God. Live for Jesus, and you'll be fine. If you haven't done that, the invitation is yours. We offer our hand to you. We have water that's ready to baptize you. We can pray for you. Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.